asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances.
So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing the massive retirement account changes that impact you.
That's right, Joel. The massive changes, the specific changes that took place at the end of last year.
And lots of them. Well, not the changes. It's kind of like a cascading arrangement of changes. So we're going to talk about this, like when they're going to be implemented, how they're going to be implemented.
It passed, but it may not actually be implemented for years, even a decade from now.
Started beginning of this year. Some will start till 2027.
We thought about calling this episode Working Towards a More Secure Retirement. Because it's the Secure 2.0.
Secure Act 2.0,
But we felt like we were burying the topic a little bit because this truly is, it's really important. It actually, so it kind of makes me think of instruction manuals. A lot of folks may have gotten some electronics or like a new toy. In my case, I got a Traeger grill for Christmas and it comes with like this fat instruction manual. And essentially what we're doing is we're sitting down and we are reading that instruction manual and we're making sure that you know how to properly run your retirement account.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can kind of throw that instruction manual to the side and think, I'll just kind of figure this out. But we think this is truly important. We're the kind of nerds who sit down and read page after page and make sure that that you are going to be able to save for retirement the correct way.
And the truth is there are a lot of changes, some of which might not impact you, but we're going to kind of highlight the most important ones, the ones that we think are going to impact the biggest swath of our listeners.
And a lot of them will. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about Roth accounts, but also 529 accounts. There are new retirement accounts out there for the self-employed. There is quite an array of changes that took place.
And for sure.
We're going to cover all of those today, man.
Before we get to that, I wanted to mention one other account, just to muddy the waters a little more, and that is donor advised funds. And we've talked about those. We talked about those in November when we talked about giving, and we think giving your money away is really important. But if you're the kind of money nerd who wants to sock money aside and give it in future years, a donor advised fund can help you do that. And it can actually help you grow the dollars that you want to give. And we've talked about how DAFFY is a really cool website, daffy.org. to do that, D-A-F-F-Y. And listener Jared apparently heard us talk about it a couple years ago, and he opened up an account with DAFFY. But he emailed us, Matt. And
this is so cool.
I thought this was awesome because he won a $10,000 prize that DAFFY was giving away.
$10,000!
So that he could then give that money away. So that he has extra ammunition now in his giving arsenal, all because he participated in this DAFFY giveaway.
To give away to charities and nonprofits of his choice, his designation.
And on top of that, DAFFY has this way that you can allow other people to give your money away too. So he gave some of his money away that he won in the sweepstakes to his coworkers. He said, hey, listen, you've got $100, you got $100, you got $100. Where do you want it to go to? And they were able to decide which nonprofits to donate that money to. So that's kind of fun. Like, that's a really cool way to incorporate mm-hmm. the people around you into the giving mindset too. But just thought that was fun to highlight. Love donor advised funds, love Daffy, and the fact that Jared won $10,000 because he
so stinky.
How neat
that's
is that?
That's a lot of money, man.
That's a lot of money.
And real quick, it's worth mentioning that donor advised funds, they're not just for those out there who are completely crushing it. It's not for the ultra rich. And so there are ways that you clump your donations so that way you get the tax credit for those, the tax deduction for those donations, as opposed to just taking the standard deduction. And so this truly is something for for everyone out there who is giving their money.
We should write about that in an upcoming How to Money newsletter, which, by the way, if you're not signed up, howtomoney.com/newsletter. And Matt, just one other cool thing about Daffy. I love that you can donate with a credit card and not pay any fees. That's a cool way to, like, obviously, we don't want you to go in debt to give. But if you're using a credit card strategically to meet a sign-up bonus or something like that, then I think that's really, I love that Daffy allows users mm-hmm. the ability to do that. And if you're wondering which credit card has the best sign-up bonuses, howtomoney.com/creditcards.
That's but right, man.
Let's mention the beer we're having on this episode. It's an Imperial Strawberry White Ale by Tennessee Brew Works. We'll give our thoughts on it at the end of the episode. But let's get on to the subject at hand. We are talking about the massive retirement account changes that impact you. And we've always said that the basics of personal finance aren't terribly difficult to comprehend. They're not impossible to wrap your mind around. And in fact, most people understand them quite clearly. Even my three-year-old seems to understand some of the basics, right?
The general principles are fairly easy to understand.
Yeah, like, don't spend more than you make. Like, that, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to really understand that. But incentives change everything. And they might even get you to do something that you're not terribly keen on doing. It makes me think of, Matt, you remember the TV show Fear Factor?
I do.
Okay.
I never watched it. But.
Okay. Well, I remember people used to eat really weird stuff. They used to like lie down in glass coffins with spiders crawling over them.
Eat a scorpion.
Yeah. Right. You had to overcome your fears. You had to do crazy stuff. And the fact is, most of us wouldn't choose to do any of those stunts if it weren't connected to the possibility of winning a lot of money, right? But people were like, listen, okay, I'm going to win thousands of dollars or potentially $1 million for letting spiders crawl all over me. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess I'm in, right? So that incentive kind of changes someone's mindset and their decision-making. You know what? I'm going to go on that show and I'm going to do that crazy stunt because I might make some money at the end of the day. And that's true from, like, if you asked me to get into a coffin of spiders or something, I would say no. Like, I wouldn't do it unless there was like $1 million at the end of the rainbow. But these are the kind of things, like, there are things in this bill that are going to change the incentives for how and where you invest for the future. We're going to discuss that. We're going to talk about some of our favorite changes in this bill. We're going to talk about how you should react to these changes based on your situation in today's episode.
That's right, man. When the rules of the game have changed, we need to adjust our behavior accordingly. And at the end of last year, the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2023 that was signed into law, all 4,100 pages of it.
Yeah, which you read every single page, every, Matt.
It's, congratulations. I will say, folks were always talking about how, you know, how big it was, but like, it's definitely the margin. The margins are pretty fat, and it's like there's definitely double spacing going on.
It's kind of like what you used to do in high school to get that paper exactly. up to length.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, luckily we're mostly concerned with just a portion of it, the Secure Act 2.0, which is, it's all about saving for retirement. But even just that portion, it's nearly 400 pages long. But yeah, lucky for you, we are into this kind of stuff, so let's parse out what you need to pay attention to. And one of the changes that will affect a ton of folks, most folks out there, is that the bill now allows you to withdraw $1,000 for quote-unquote family and personal emergency expenses from retirement accounts like a 401k or an IRA without incurring a 10% penalty. There are other stipulations as well, other rules, but here's the thing. We're not even going to cover those because we don't want you touching your retirement accounts. That is what your emergency fund is for. Mm-hmm. So if you hear folks at work, if you hear the, you know, water cooler talk being discussed, how, hey, you can tap $1,000 of that pesky money that keeps getting siphoned out of your paycheck. That is something
bring it back into your
own
savings
account.
You
now know how to think about. That is not money that we want you touching, even though Congress has left a pretty broad, I mean, literally, it's just family and personal emergency expenses. So it seems like a very wide swath mm-hmm. of explanations that you could give for tapping that money. That is not money that we want you tapping. That is money that we want you to leave in your accounts. That way it can continue to grow into even more future dollars for your future self.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it seems like a benefit. It seems like a nice thing. It's like, hey, yeah, if you need this money for any reason, go ahead, tap it, pull it out. And guess what? We're not going to charge you that penalty on top. And it seems like great. Now it makes this money more accessible. But that's exactly what we don't want, yeah. is this money to be more accessible. This is money we want you to lock away for your future. And there are some extreme circumstances where it makes sense to take money out of a retirement account. But that's what emergency savings is for. And that's what building up that e-fund and having more money on hand in your savings account is for. We don't want you to have to ever pull out money from a retirement account.
Yeah.
That's not the goal. I mean, but if it comes is
down,
easier now.
If it comes down to like you selling a kidney
right.
or
right.
or tapping $1,000.
Or a kid, you know?
Well, go ahead.
Kid or kidney.
Go ahead and do $1,000. Yeah. Hang on to the kidney.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. That, and that's what I think Congress is trying to say here.
They don't want people selling kidneys.
If you, they don't. They don't want a black market for that. They don't want you on Craigslist selling your body parts. But it's one of those things where I get why they're going in this direction, but How to Money listeners, like, that hopefully this isn't going to apply to you. You don't care
exactly.
about that part of it.
Exactly.
But let's talk about a bunch of other stuff, Matt, that is going to impact a lot of our listeners. And automatic enrollment into employer retirement plans is one of them. It's one of the major changes from this bill, and it's a money psychology move that's going to impact millions of folks positively who aren't currently saving for their own retirement. Again, though, that might not be a whole lot of our listeners. Most of our of the How to Money community is putting money in a workplace retirement account if they have access.
I hope so.
Yeah. But starting in 2025, a bunch of employers who have at least 10 employees, churches and nonprofits are exempt from this rule. They're now required, though, to automatically opt in employees by stashing away at least 3% and up to 10%. Like, if you had like an employer who was like, no, we want them saving and investing so much, they could automatically enroll you at 10% of your paycheck into that workplace retirement account.
That's what we would do.
Yeah, that's probably we would force it.
The default 10%.
And make you change it. Exactly.
Like, no. You start at 10% and you go up from there.
That's right.
Yeah. We're not going to mess around with that piddly 3%.
And if you want to take it, you know, take the burden in your own hand and go change that setting and move it back down to 3, that's on you. Yeah. But we know that that's probably, you know, not many of the folks listening right now, they're on it, they're saving for their own retirement. But let's say you mosey on down the road to a new job. Your employer is now going to be automatically enrolling you into their 401k plan or 403b plan or whatever. And also, employers are now able to offer incentives for you to sign up and start contributing to your 401k, which I thought was cool. Maybe like a free water bottle or a small gift card, which shouldn't be what you need to get signed up.
A free pizza, sort of like the old school credit card signups.
Right, except for this is a much better thing you're signing up for.
Yes.
But now this is a legal approach employers can take to encourage employees to invest, which I think is cool.
Yeah, let's keep talking about the different incentives that are being dangled in front of us. Savers who have a Roth 401k, they can now choose to have their match go into their Roths as well. Now, this is especially advantageous for everyone out there who is just starting out in their career and who is likely to earn substantially more money down the road. You want to pay those taxes now, not in future years, decades down the road, when you are likely going to be earning more money, where you'll be in a higher tax bracket. Before, if your employer offered a Roth 401k option, you could definitely stock that money away into the Roth 401k, but then the match that your employer offered, that would go into a traditional 401k, which obviously it's not the worst thing in the world. You're still getting the free money, but for a lot of folks, it makes sense to get all that money, including the match, in the form of Roth funds if you could, and now you can. And so this is definitely one that you want to keep on your radar. You'll probably hear about this one at work, but if not, make sure to ask around and see when that might be available for you.
Yeah. And again, a lot of these things, this was passed at the very end of last year. And if you reach out to your HR department right now, they might be like, sorry, just got back from my holiday trip. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yep.
It's going to take a while. Well, first off, some of these things aren't supposed to be implemented for years down the road. Like we talked about that employer match thing. That starts in 2025. So that doesn't start this year. It doesn't even start next year. Some of these other things, the start date is different. But when you reach out to HR, it might take them time to implement some of these things. So just understand that and be cognizant of that before you start jumping down their throat, yeah. right?
before you start pounding on the door, demanding that they make those changes now.
Yeah, I want that.
I heard Matt and Joel talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. What's your problem? Get with it. Well, so yeah, and again, this is a 4,000-page bill, and it's going to take a while for the implementation to happen. But let's talk about one other thing that's really interesting on the 401k front, and a lot of organizations are going to be implementing this as well. Something else on that match front is that starting in 2024, next year, if you're paying down your student loans and you're therefore unable to invest in your workplace retirement account because so much of your income is going to pay off that college debt, you're not going to be eligible for the match that you previously wouldn't have qualified for. So that match from your employer is going to go into a retirement account. So you'll still be investing even though you're not actually investing. So yeah, even if you can't afford to put any of your paycheck toward, like, even 3%, right, towards that 401k, because the student loan bill is so demanding, your employer is going to be able to invest on your behalf with a match. So I think that's kind of cool, because there are people in that sort of scenario, Matt, and they want to be investing. But student loans, obviously a massive burden for a whole lot of people. So, and student loan forgiveness still up in the air. But I think this is a really interesting change. And in 2024, it's going to help a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't be investing anything, at least be investing something thanks to their employer and this new law change.
Exactly. It's basically treating those student loan payments as if you were contributing that money into your 401k. Mm-hmm. Your employer is viewing it like essentially you're getting the same benefit that somebody who's investing their money. You would also receive that benefit, but you are paying down debt instead.
Yeah. And how's this going to play out in the specifics, in actuality? I don't know, but we have time to kind of see how, because this one, again, doesn't start till next year, but I'm sure there's going to be a way that you report your loan payments to your employer so they can then, you know, make that match happen. But yeah, what does it look like on the ground? Not sure yet.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've kind of talked about some matches from your employer. There's some news on the essentially matches from the government as well. There are now expanded tax credits available, a match from the federal government on at least a portion of the money that you invest. And this is for folks who have an adjusted gross income of less than $73,000. Interestingly, this one doesn't start until 2027, though.
The start dates of all this stuff, just kind of, it's kind of annoying.
Kind of all over the place.
This one starts now. This one starts in 2025. Yeah.
But the savers tax credit will, a few years from now, it'll become the savers match. And so there's some semantic change there going on. But that's going to allow more individuals, it's going to allow more families who aren't making bank to get an additional government match. So they're no longer cutting your tax bill. It'll now actually be the government literally making a matching deposit to a traditional IRA for you. And it's going to be up to $1,000 for individuals. It's going to be $2,000 for married folks. And the specific amounts, it's actually based on how much you are able to contribute to that IRA yourself. And man, this is just another one of those incentives for young folks who are just at the beginning of their career, and for folks who perpetually just make less. It's going to allow them to find a way to start investing, even if they're not making a ton of money now. I kind of like that the government, even though I hate that it's so complicated, I hate that all the laws governing these different tax advantage work-sponsored retirement accounts, individual tax advantage retirement accounts, it can all be so stinking confusing. I hate that part of it, but I do like that the government is essentially pushing some of the responsibility on us as individuals, right?
And like saying, "Hey, we're gonna be your buddy and help you out.
We're gonna come alongside you." Exactly. I love that. As opposed to like Social Security, where it's just 6% of your paycheck automatically getting siphoned off, and you don't even think about that money. You're not thinking about how that money is going to necessarily grow for you. There is an active step that's taking place here as individuals are setting that money aside. They're, like you said, they're kind of coming alongside you. We're buddies. We're partnering in this together. Because this is exactly how, like, when my kids get old enough to purchase a car, like, cars are really expensive. But that doesn't mean I'm going to just buy a car for my kid. I'm going to say, hey, cars are expensive. You should start saving now. And for every dollar you set aside for that car, guess what? Dad, like, I'm going to pitch in. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to come alongside you. This is something that we can do together. I love that some of the, just more of the responsibility is being placed on us as individuals. I want to see more of that and less dependence on the government.
And by then, used Rivians aren't going to cost all that much.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. But will they still carry the charge?
That's a good question.
That's, you know.
Might need a new battery at that point.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, no, I like this one too. I think it's a good one. And again, it starts in 2027, but it's going to help a lot of people. It's going to incentivize a lot of people to save for retirement who otherwise wouldn't, because it's like, oh, I'm getting 100% match on my dollars. Depending on your income level, that might be the case for you. All right, but let's talk about in just a second, Matt, one of my favorite changes to this, and it's very nuanced. There's so much that goes into how much better 529 plans have become thanks to the passage of the Secure Act 2.0. We'll get to our thoughts on that. We'll talk about the intricacies and how it can actually benefit your child's financial future in a much bigger way than used to be possible. We'll get to that right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer. We've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, man, let's keep on trucking. And specifically, we're talking about 529 accounts. This is the aspect of the Secure Act that we are, Secure Act 2.0, I gotta mention, that we're most excited about. I mean, mostly because you and I both have, you've got three kids, I got four kids. These are all kids who may or may not go to college. Yeah. And the may not part of it is why these changes are so important.
Exactly.
So, yeah, this is actually in Section 126 of the Secure Act.
favorite part. you read it with bated breath.
I will say, the sections, they start at like, I think it started at 101. So it's not like, you know, they make it seem way bigger, like there. A much bigger deal than it is. So really, this is just Section 26. And when you say it that way, it actually sounds super boring. So we're not going to do that. But we've always said that 529 accounts, they can be a solid place to save for your child's future, but not until you've invested significantly for your own retirement, because there are a lot more ways to pay for college than there are to pay for retirement. But the bill, you know, that passed at the tail end of last year, it has made 529 plans significantly more attractive. You can now roll funds from a 529 account into a Roth IRA penalty-free. And honestly, that's the biggest reason why we just didn't like 529 accounts all that much. You were essentially siloing that money into a 529 account only to be used for higher education. And if you wanted to take that money out, you were going to get hit with a 10% penalty.
Makes me think of one of those home renovation shows, Matt, and how you might find a house with good bones. And then you clean it up and you put in a new kitchen and you're like, man, this thing is really attractive. And that's exactly what happened to 529 accounts. They had some good bones. For a lot of people, 529 accounts made sense, but they also didn't make sense for a whole slew of people. But now those good bones been brought to life. Yep. And 529 accounts make more sense for a lot of folks. I don't know. Yeah. Bad analogy? I don't know. Maybe.
No, it works. We just found a way to blow out a wall in the 529 account. Right. And all of a sudden now we've linked the dining and the entertainment space. And
yeah.
All of a sudden this is going to be my modern day family needs.
Okay, so maybe it's more like that Ty Pennington show back in the day where they added on like a whole wing to the house. And it's like now
is
this
that
house.
The Move My Bus show? Yes. Is that one?
Okay. Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened,
move
right?
Move my funds.
Because it made this account just doubly effective. It, yeah. It changed your ability for how you use these funds.
But, you know, while a 529 account, like, it still is not sexier than your Roth IRA, the added flexibility, you know, that they now have. They allow you to not just pay for a private school, right, or college from this account, but it can help your child start to invest for their own future in a meaningful way. It allows them to start, you know, building up their own wealth to save for their own retirement, which is sort of a nice side effect, a nice additional benefit that comes with these changes.
Yeah. And if you and I, we've been kind of giddy on this one. We've been talking about this change because a lot of money nerds.
We've certainly have teased to this one the most over the past week.
Well, because I'm most excited about this because I think that this impacts a whole lot of How to Money listeners who want to get the next generation of personal finance nerds started out on the right path. And it,
we're not the only one with kids.
No, we're not the only ones with kids.
There's a lot of y'all.
And we're
there.
Not the only ones who are like, I don't know, if I do 529 counts make sense for me because, you know, they're not sure if their kids are going to go to college. Or even if they do, there's scholarship opportunities. And so they just, it's hard to know whether or not to prioritize that account. And these changes make it easier to sock money away into one of those accounts, even if you're not sure about what the particulars of college are going to look like for your kiddo. But I also want to, like you said, that your own retirement accounts still take priority. Here's how we're thinking about it. If you're already doing a fantastic job saving for your own future, and you want to help your kids get started off on the right foot for theirs too, then this provision is going to help you do just that. But we want to make sure that you're maxing a Roth, you're contributing a significant amount to your workplace retirement account before you start to help your child accrue retirement dollars. And again, now with these changes, that is what a 529 account can do for them. It can turn into retirement dollars, which is really cool. Because before, it was like, use it or lose it, pay the penalty if it doesn't get spent on college. And now there's another use case scenario for these 529 funds. But it still doesn't mean that they're more important than saving for your own retirement first.
That's right. The purpose of these changes is to make sure that essentially they're alleviating stress that you might have for putting money into a 529 account that may not be used for higher education.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who are already have money socked into a 529 account and their kids are graduated. And I don't know what to do with this money. And so now there's like something to do with this money, which is great.
Hopefully they didn't pull it out last year and pay the 10% penalty. And they're like, no! but let's talk about the stipulations associated with these changes and how you might be able to take full advantage. A couple of things to note. First of all, you can only transfer $35,000 total into a Roth IRA for your kids from the 529 account with their name on it over the years.
And that's
right?
For each kid, right? Each beneficiary, yeah.
And so the kid has to be listed as the beneficiary. You own the account, but the money can then be transferred out of that account into a Roth IRA in their name. And so, for instance, let's say you have $100,000 in one of those 529 accounts over 2 decades. That's something you've saved up. Well, know that this means that basically only about a third of that money would ever be eligible for Roth transfers. The rest would need to be spent for education, or you pull that out and get hit with that 10% penalty. And again, this is what 529 accounts were designed for. They're meant for higher education. This is probably fine. This is probably the major reason why you likely opened the account or that you plan on opening one in the future. That's still a good reason. And honestly, the primary reason to use a 529 plan. It's like it's just a backup, right? It's sort of like going skydiving and counting on using your second chute, like your emergency parachute. Like, don't they have, I think they have two parachutes.
I'd probably want three if I went.
But. Yeah. But it's basically saying, hey, I'm going to jump out of this plane and I'm looking forward to using that second parachute. It's like, no, that's not really what it was intended for. You can do that, but hopefully you are using it for its primary purpose first. But now you just know that you've got that secondary just in case.
Yeah. I kind of like, though, the secondary shoot on this one. I think it's for people who are really with it.
It's a very nice secondary shoot.
Yeah, and they want their kids to be millionaires, let's say, by the time they reach retirement age without having to do anything on their own. Granted, I want to teach my kids how to do the right things and how to invest for their future and to care about investing from a personal standpoint. But if you want to get them started on the right path, this account, you don't even have to think about it. You can now think about it purely as a retirement account if you wanted to for your kid's future, although I think you still want to think about it primarily as an education funding tool. But let's talk about...
I've got mixed feelings about saving for your kid's retirement because like it's one thing to save
put that on them.
Yeah, exactly. I think funding different experiences or extracurriculars or different things that you can do together as a family. But I'm still super just I'm mixed essentially on whether or not I feel comfortable setting aside retirement dollars for my kids, because I feel like it just does something mentally.
Well, you almost don't want to tell them about it. Like,
yes,
if you are doing it,
except
just
that
don't...
we're talking about it right now on a podcast that
kids,
everyone hears.
Turn this podcast off right now if you're listening.
They're gonna go digging through any account that has to do with kids accounts or 529s. And yeah, be like, all right, what did Mr. Joel do? Or what did Daddy do? What did Joel do? What did I do? I guess I'm more interested in the fact that you can then transfer that account into your own name, and me knowing that I can then, with that 529, with me being named as the beneficiary, can then transfer that into a Roth IRA that is also in my name. That is something that you can also do. For me, that feels more like the backstop. That's the secondary shoot.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, on that front, like, we don't really have the details on how it works when you change beneficiaries. That's one of those things that hasn't been completely spelled out. And so I'm actually going to talk about this right now. Let's talk about seasoning the account. If you rename the beneficiary, that might mean that you have to season the account again, which could make it really hard for the person who becomes the new beneficiary to actually get that money, or at least prolong the timeline. But there's this 15-year rule that's massively important to understand if you want to utilize the new abilities of 529 plans. And basically, the 529 plan needs to be open for at least 15 years in order to reach the age of eligibility to where you're allowed to roll over some of those funds into a Roth. And that makes me, that makes, I would say, opening that 529 plan early a really critical step. So even if you're not sure that you'll want to fund a retirement account like a Roth for your kid, or that you're going to have enough money to contribute like you'd like to, you might say, like, yeah, this is pie in the sky, but I don't make enough money to even consider a maneuver like this. Well, that might be true right now, but it might not always be true.
Yeah.
Your income might skyrocket in the coming years, and you might say,
you might be a baller.
I wish I'd done something, at least started the ball rolling on that. And so we would say it's worth opening up a 529 account in each of your kiddos' names, even just with the bare minimum. Let's say it's $25 a minimum to open the account. Mm-hmm. Do that and get that clock ticking. Your income and your goals might change, like we said, and it would be nice to have the option to contribute more and to funnel money into your child's Roth down the road. Let's say you don't use that money for education, and then you can start to jumpstart their retirement with it. But there's just more opportunity if you open the account in their first year or two of life. So I would say, like, you have a kid, you get their social security number, open up a 529 account now.
Boom.
Even if it's with 10, 20 bucks.
Yep.
And yeah, get that clock ticking, because that is one of these major sticking points in this new bill.
Exactly. And if you think you might be transferring that money again into your own name and naming yourself as the beneficiary, maybe it wouldn't hurt to open a 529 account in your own name and even your partner's name as well, to be able to potentially, again, we don't know the specifics and how this is all going to play out, but to potentially spread that money out.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have assuming it stays at 6,500, dude, that's a total of $13,000 that you might be able to essentially funnel back into your own Roth IRA.
Well, we've had a 529 account for my wife for a couple of years now, because she's in graduate school.
She's already got,
so we're funding
that. Get your
jump
set up. That way you've got both of those. And in 15 years, even if the clock does reset and the seasoning of the account is beneficiary specific, then just like having opened your kids' 529 accounts, that clock would have been ticking 15 years ago as well. But not only do you need to season the account, you have to season the money that goes into the account as well. This is the 5-year rule.
So there's the 15-year rule and the 5-year rule. The account has to have been open for more than 15 years, but tell us about the 5-year rule.
Money, it has to have been in that account for at least 5 years. And so that means that you can't roll over $529 that you've socked away within the most recent 5 years. So say if you're 14 years in and you still just got that $25 hanging out in an account, and then you decide to max out your contribution right before year 15, well, those funds will need to then season for an additional 5 years before being able to be eligible for Roth conversions. So, yeah, keep that in mind as well. Essentially, just like if, I feel like we might be getting into the weeds here, but just like if you're doing a backdoor Roth IRA, that money has to season for 5 years. I'm assuming this is exactly where they got this information from, so that it mirrors that backdoor Roth. I can't imagine, though, that there's going to be, you know, millions of folks out there who are going to need to be able to maximize this new rule, you know, funnel a full $35,000 into a Roth for their child. But if that's your goal, you're going to need to plan accordingly, which for most folks, this means regular contributions in those early years in order to grow that balance.
Yeah. And I think that is where some folks might get hung up. They might be so excited about the, if they care about generational wealth building and they say, unlike Matt and Joel, and I am funding my 529 accounts with more vigor now because of this law change, because there's more ability for me to pass that money down to my kids in an awesome retirement account for their future, and of course not telling them about it, but it's one of those things where some people might get so excited about this and creating this generational wealth opportunity that they might fail, or at least not to the same degree, invest for their own future, or like you said, Matt, too, even invest in things that help grow your family dynamic and trips that might pay off,
yeah,
from a cultural standpoint or from just a knowledge standpoint. I think those things are massively important. And if you're funding a 529 plan, but you're skipping out on those other things, that's not, I wouldn't say that's smart. I wouldn't say that is creating a well-rounded family and well-rounded kids. So,
food analogy. It makes me think that you're serving up the perfect amount of vegetables, protein, dairy, whatever for each meal, but you're not adding any seasoning to it at all.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, no. These are the building blocks to a healthy, fully balanced diet. Who cares about flavor? Well, flavor is really important. That's what actually gets you to do the thing. And if you've lost sight as to why it is that you are funding these accounts, it's to enrich the lives of, you know, of your kids in the future. It's important to keep that in mind as well. You don't want to lose sight. You don't want to focus so much on the long term that you lose sight of what's here right now, right in front of you.
Yeah, you got to have that both and approach for sure. And one more thing that it's important to mention when it comes to the changes to 529 plans in this Secure Act 2.0, Section 126, annual contribution limits still apply. And so those contribution limits, they're going to go up over time. They just went up this year from $6,000 last year to $6,500 is what you can sock away in an IRA at this point. I can't predict what they're going to be in, let's say, 2039. But let's just say the annual limit is still at $6,500, even though it won't be at that point. The 529 account in question has been open for at least 15 years, Matt, like you just discussed, with at least $6,500 of those having been socked away at least 5 years ago. You can then roll over that $6,500 from the 529 account into a Roth IRA that is in your kiddo's name. And you can do the same thing in the following years too. One thing you can't do is roll over $6,500 and then contribute $6,500 additional dollars.
Like the traditional way, the normal way.
You can't fund $13,000 into a Roth in 1 year.
Exactly.
Half from the 529, half from just other earned income. The total annual max of $6,500 still applies.
You could do half and half. You could do $3,250 from as a rollover and then the same amount as a traditional contribution. But yeah, you can't double up those limits. Those contribution limits still apply. And okay, so that's a lot of new information on how 529 plans have changed. Hopefully we didn't bore you with too many details, but how parents can best take advantage of this for their kids. This gets a bit complicated. And the reality, honestly, is that most folks will have something to do now with those unused 529 funds that don't involve a penalty. That is the great news here. But if you are inclined to take advantage of this, if you want to prime the pump for your child's future retirement, then we want to make sure that you do it properly, that you're thinking about it the right way. Again, even though 529 plans, they're way cooler, they're way more flexible than they were, that still doesn't mean that it takes priority over the other retirement accounts that you have access to. But if you're willing, if you're able to do both, more power to you. And that being said, we've covered a lot of details. If you have questions, this is an excellent time for us to bring this up. Submit a question to howtomoney.com/ask. You can send us a voice memo if you have a particular situation, if you've come across a nuance of the law that you want us to talk about. You can ask a question. Send
or if
it
you're
our
just
way.
Like, man, in my specific, should I be contributing to a 529 plan for my kids? Like, we'd love to throw out a few of your particulars. We'd love to tackle it.
Yeah. Or if you've got a frugal or cheap, and you're like, is it cheap to think that I will designate this money for my kids for their college only, but I am not willing to give it to them within the retirement account? That's something I'm personally wrestling with as we speak.
I'll answer your question, Matt.
But all right, we've got more changes to retirement accounts that we need to discuss, including new Roth 401k rules, and we'll get to all that right after this.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week
at the beach.
Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're a small business owner, listen up. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're actually choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers. They do everything from hyper-targeting best fit prospects through campaign optimization. Upswell Marketing's unique approach includes direct mail, search engine marketing, and social media ads, and has fueled more than 10,000 small business success stories. Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
All right, let's keep going. Let's keep talking about retirement account changes thanks to the new Secure Act 2.0, which was passed basically at the very end of last year.
I can't wait for the upgrade, the Secure Act 2.1 update.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, we do need clarification on a lot of the changes that are happening. Hopefully, we'll get those in the coming weeks and months, and we will share as new information comes along. But there's just a lot worth covering, and specifically, we wanted to dedicate a whole section to 529 plans because there's massive changes there. Like we said, kind of like a new wing being added onto the house, mm-hmm. and it's worth covering and discussing in depth how that impacts folks who are saving for their kids' college or folks who hadn't considered saving for their kids' college but who do want to invest for their child's future. This now gives them another account to consider. And
it's that secondary chute.
Yeah.
You can always, there's always money in the banana stand.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you said that. And if any of you don't watch Arrested Development, go back and watch it tonight because it's one of the greatest shows on television on streaming. But Matt, let's talk about some other changing elements of retirement accounts thanks to what the Secure Act 2.0 has brought about. And we've got a few more things we want to get to. 401k hardship savings are now a reality. And so a good chunk of folks are now going to be able to save for a rainy day inside of their workplace retirement account, whether it's their 403b, 401k, whichever workplace retirement account they have access to, if they have access to one. And the goal here is so that employers can basically help lower income workers out by allowing them to also qualify for the company match, but just on savings, at least until a certain point when the account achieves a sum of $2,500, which is eerily close to our $2,467 recommendation mm-hmm. of what folks should have in an emergency fund.
They read the same report by the same economists that right. we got our number from.
Exactly. So our listeners, they might see an HR email hit their inbox at some point this spring outlining their new ability to save for a rainy day inside of their retirement account. And this just isn't terribly exciting in our books because, yeah, saving that much money in a savings account is literally our first money gear. Like, that's what we want people to do from the outset when it's like, what should my first goal with money be? Get that much money set aside in a savings account. that you have. So, but if you've had trouble just getting to that point, this new provision, it might do a bit of good, helping more folks to get there, which is going to be, let's be honest, a massive step for a whole lot of folks who are living paycheck to paycheck. If you have that much money in savings, whether it's inside of this new hardship savings inside of a 401k or 403b, this will probably lead to a lot of folks who need it the most to achieve a greater level of financial security.
Awesome. To get established, lay that foundation. Yeah. This does not apply, though, to all employees. There are some stipulations. The main one being that you can't take advantage of this if your income is over $135,000, which it kind of makes sense because high income earners, they should at least be able to find a little bit of wiggle room in their budget to be able to fund that emergency fund without this additional boost. And because of that new opt-in rule that we talked about earlier, if an employee doesn't opt out, they actually might be saving up money without having to do anything at all. Because employers can also auto-enroll employees into one of these emergency savings accounts and establish a contribution percentage of up to 3% on their behalf. So that's kind of important to keep in mind. Something else, what happens when they reach that $2,500 threshold? Well, then the employer could just either stop those contributions altogether, or they could deviate those dollars. They could funnel them towards the workplace retirement account instead. Mm. So yeah. Know that that's an option that your employer now has the ability to do that on your behalf.
And we've talked about over the years, Matt, the different psychological things that money is so in our brain. And often we don't take the actions that we want to that we know are in our best interest. And so some of these automatic contributions from employers now, like that's just going to help people do the right thing without having to think about it, without even choosing to do it. Some might say that's like nanny state, big brother, or something like that. But
you can always change it.
Yeah,
you can always, as long as you still have the option,
which you do.
There's nothing wrong with a little nudge.
You can go back in there the very next day and be like, "Psych, mm-hmm. thanks for trying. I want to spend all the dollars that I make. I don't want to save anything for my future." You still have that choice. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some other changes. The RMD pushback is another one that happened in this bill. This one applies to fewer How to Money listeners because we have a younger audience. But here's the scoop. For individuals who turn 72 in 2023, this might have ramifications for your parents, by the way, RMDs will be pushed back by 1 year compared to the current rules, and they're going to begin at age 73. Age 73 will continue to be the age at which RMDs need to be taken for the next decade through 2032. Then, beginning in 2033, RMDs are going to be pushed back even further to age 75. So for most of our listeners who are still decades from retirement, they're still a long ways off, this means that you won't be forced to take money out of your 401k or traditional IRA until you turn 75.
That's right.
Which is good news. Like you have more choice over when you take those funds out, and nobody's telling you earlier on in your retirement years that you have to grab that money and pay the tax piper. You can let it continue to grow.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, and with folks living longer and with a desire to continue to want to work at a job somehow, maybe you're not making nearly as much as you used to make, but what that means is you oftentimes don't need to take that money out of the account, and you can let it grow. But some other good news on this front, though, is that Roth 401k accounts, which, by the way, they're our favorite choice for most folks because most folks are going to be earning more money in the future.
Yeah, and tax rates are likely to go up, too.
They're likely going to go up after 2025. But if you have a Roth 401k account, this also means that you won't have any RMDs attached to them starting in 2024 and moving forward either. So in our minds, this makes a ton of sense because Roth accounts, regardless, they are funded with after-tax dollars, whether we're talking about Roth IRAs or Roth 401ks. But Roth IRAs, they already had no mandatory required minimum distributions. And so now their sister accounts, they won't have any forced withdrawals associated with them either. It makes sense. I mean, more of the language in this bill is pushing folks towards the expansion of what some writers have called like the Rothification of retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
More accounts now have the option to not only pay the taxes upfront and let that money grow tax-free, but also to avoid those RMDs.
Yeah, one other thing on the Roth front too is that it's just good news really for self-employed folks out there. Starting this year, you're going to be able to contribute to a Roth Simple IRA and a Roth SEP IRA. Those accounts previously only allowed for pre-tax contributions, but that changes in 2023, this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might take a minute for the brokerage company you work with to get everything up and running on their end, but look for that option soon. And for, again, given kind of where things stand from a tax standpoint in this country, depending on your income, depending on your goals, depending on, you know, what your likely income is going to be in the future. It's hard to give a blanket statement for every single person, but Roth accounts make sense for a lot of folks. And yeah, the fact that Roth Simples and Roth SEPs are going to be available now, starting this year, is a good thing.
That's right. But before we wrap this thing up, some additional news and information for our older listeners. Catch-up contribution amounts are going up for folks who are in their early 60s, and that catch-up amount is going to be indexed to inflation.
What about the mustard amount?
Such a nerd. No, sir. But what this means is that since it's going to be indexed to inflation, it's going to be essentially pegged to inflation. It means it's going to automatically change over the years. But for folks who are getting closer to retirement age and they haven't been able to sock as much as they'd like to away into their retirement accounts over the decades, they'll now have a greater ability to put more into those accounts, at least for a few years, specifically between the ages of 60 and 63.
Yeah. And believe it or not, there's even more in the Secure Act 2.0 that passed. Much of it is arcane and gets even more into the weeds than we've done on this episode. So we're going to try to maintain listeners and not be just completely boring and tell you stuff that you don't care about. But for instance, you can now offer your cleaning person or your nanny a SEP IRA. Let's say you're in that boat and you're like, you want to give them a retirement account.
You're trying to steal your neighbors or your friend's au pair.
You're like, I offer retirement benefits, right? Well, that's kind of interesting, but it's not necessarily applicable to a bunch of folks.
Applicable to us.
Right. There are also changes to ABLE accounts for disabled folks, which are going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. But those don't go into effect until 2026. That being said, we'll link to some of the best resources to help you understand the full scope of changes that this law creates in the show notes. If you're like, listen, I want to read like dozens and dozens and dozens of pages of arcane legislative language, then boom. If that's your jam, we'll link to some of that stuff in the show notes. Hey, so you can dig into the details yourself.
We'll link to the actual omnibus bill.
Oh, yeah.
And tell you what page to start on if you want to read all 400 pages of the Secure Act, if you really want to dive into
A dozen pairs of How to Money Socks for the first listener that reads the entire bill.
We want a book report in 2 weeks. Obviously, we would still like to see more simplicity, right? Like when it comes to retirement accounts. They're still massively confusing to a slew of folks. We totally get that. There's like an alphabet soup of different account names, the income limits and the sliding scales.
Seasoning time periods. And
different years that they're getting implemented. Yeah. All of these, you know, they put up a bit of a wall for a lot of folks who would otherwise be interested in investing. But still, even though it might feel like you're cramming for an exam, if you learn how these accounts work, if you use them to your advantage, we think that you're going to be able to change your financial future in a massive way. And of course, we know that financial futures lead to your actual futures. Yeah. It's not just about money. It's about what you can then do with that money. These changes will quite literally allow you to make some serious changes to your life in the future.
Yeah, we talked about at the very beginning of this episode, we talked about incentives. And incentives drive us. Like whether we know it or not, why do we get up and go to work every morning? It's typically not because we'd rather be there than sleeping in our bed or hanging out with our kids or our significant other.
Bed was extra soft this morning. Ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, it's for other reasons, right? And it's the incentives that matter. And so it's because we get healthcare and we hopefully we like what we do, but it's because we get a paycheck from that job. And incentives drive what we do every single day. And
that's right.
The incentive changes inside of this Secure Act 2.0, which was passed in this omnibus spending bill, are going to impact our decisions moving forward. And so hopefully, you know a little bit of the lay of the land, some of the major changes that occurred in this bill, and how you can use those changes to your advantage in the future as you're saving, investing, and you're building wealth.
That's right. And again, if there is a part of the Secure Act that passed that you did not hear us talk about, or you want us to talk about it in a specific way, send us a question. Go to howtomoney.com/ask. Joel, speaking of incentives, one of the reasons that you and I, that we come to work, is that we're able to sip a craft beer while we record these episodes. So during this episode, we enjoyed an Imperial Strawberry White Ale.
That's the only reason I showed up today.
For this beer. It is like a nice little perk, you know, the ability for us to, I mean, literally we don't repeat beers. And so part of it is a mission to explore all the many different breweries and different awesome beers that are out there. This is by Tennessee Brew Works out of Nashville in collaboration, I guess, with Cascade Moon. I think they're a distiller. They use their whiskey barrels.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so because this beer was aged in whiskey barrels, it was a little boozy. It had a little bit of strawberry, all in that white ale base. So to me, this was
crazy.
I thought this was unique and interesting. Like it was different than any other beer I've had. And I love a good beer aged in whiskey barrels. Like, I'm hoping in Secure Act 3.0, they actually mandate all beers be aged in whiskey barrels because that would make my day. But I thought this one was fun. It was different. And it wasn't necessarily one of my favorites, but it was also really tasty.
Did you not like the... it had like a Belgian aspect to it.
Yeah.
More so than... I mean, we should have known that. It's a white ale, so yeah. It's like a...
Some of the spices
like Belgian white
in white ales aren't, they're not always my favorite. Although we had one recently from St. Bernardus that was delicious that I loved. But this one had...
It's because it had fewer of those spices.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I still really like
this
one.
Yeah, it definitely, it kind of had, immediately you taste like the fruity floral action going on. But obviously it had notes of strawberry. But it also had like a peachy mango sort of fruitiness going on
I
as well. Like
that.
A very kind of white, light colored fruit or strawberry. That
it's like the unripened fuzzy portion.
Yes, yeah, it's like a strawberry that has maybe more white and green on it than actual deep red.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of had some of that tartness going on, which I enjoyed. It was a way to balance out some of the deeper notes that you get when you age something in some oak barrels. But I agree with you. Any beer that is aged in oak, it just takes it up another notch. And I'm glad this is one that you and I could enjoy today, buddy. But that's going to be it for this episode. This was a little more of an academic, nerdy, sit-down, textbook kind of episode. oftentimes we're talking maybe a little bit more about lifestyle, or we're talking about things in a slightly more fun manner. But this one deserved the seriousness.
Yeah.
You know, this was like a stoic type of financial episode.
And now you can look forward to Matt's spinoff podcast where he reads the Encyclopedia Britannica each and every week.
Not going to do it. But we hope that you did enjoy this episode, though, and that you're able to glean a bunch of value out of it. If you liked it and you haven't left us a review, head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. But Joel, that's going to be it.
It takes 2 seconds, just 5 stars.
For this episode.
It made me feel good.
Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
When it comes to your finances, go for the credit card that's always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We're talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.